You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and watching and listening to us here. We are The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
And my name is Kevin.
And I'm Chris.
All right. Jeez, guys. Took you a bit. Today,
think about that.
I can understand, though. You're probably thinking about all the money you don't have, because today we are ranking rich superheroes. Just a little list here of some of the richest superheroes in the fake world. So we are going to... It's funny because there is a... In the comic book world, there is a stark line, no pun intended, a stark line between the rich superheroes and the villains. In the real world, in the fake world, that's that way. And in the real world, it's such a gray area. You can't tell who's a rich superhero and who would be a rich supervillain. It's kind of like Jeff Bezos, for example, would be like, well, is he a superhero or is he a supervillain? He rides that gray line pretty hard. He's probably a villain. We don't know. He could be a hero. I mean, he does have, donates money through Amazon, but he also has basically sweat factories in Amazon, too. So there's that.
It's true.
Musk is riding that line right now, too.
I think you're right. Yeah, he did just buy Twitter. Yeah, not too long ago, he purchased Twitter. And he banked basically... use part of his Tesla stock as leverage, I believe, in order to be able to afford the purchase of Twitter. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, because if Tesla stock drops, no pun intended, starkly, he'll definitely lose a lot of money and might come up in... So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But today we wanted to talk about these fictional superheroes. And this is this list could go on and on. There's a lot of rich superheroes. So we just kind of cherry picked some good ones that we could talk about. One of them in particular is a guy that you have to kind of think outside the box when you think of him. I think his comic book series came out, if I recall, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, about 1 month before the Uncanny X-Men series. And we are talking about the Doom Patrol. And we're talking about Dr. Niles Calder. Dr. Niles Calder is essentially Charles Xavier, basically. Only I think he's a moodier Charles Xavier. He was designed to be kind of more of an asshole. he is played by Mr. Bond himself in the HBO Max series. And that Mr. Bond, who is it, Kevin?
It is Timothy Dalton.
Yes, your favorite. Well, your second favorite, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, like my second favorite.
Anyway.
Yeah, second favorite.
Okay, Timothy Dalton it plays Dr. Niles Calder. Does a really good job of writing that line of sympathetic and moody, kind of brooding, you know, rich dude. But I'm going to be honest, I think he has a little bit harder stance here in that he had to deal with more uniquely disturbed superheroes. A lot of the superhero, like Robot Man, for instance, was a dude, and they took his human brain and put it inside of a robot body. That's a pretty hard thing to deal with. That's not a mutant.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's a science experiment. So he's dealing with mutations, science experiments, a lot of tragedy. Some of the mutants, like in the X-Men universe, for example, like Wolverine, I live forever and I'm hairy, you know, and I can cut anything, but only when I want them to. Ooh, you know?
Well, he suffered PTSD, suffered some PTSD. You can understand where he's coming from.
That's different, but I'm talking about just as like from his outward appearance, you know, he doesn't have to deal with nearly as much as what Robot Man would have to deal with as a walking, talking robot that really shouldn't exist. So, right. You know, you have characters like that within the Doom Patrol world that makes it a little more unique and a little harder and could probably make somebody like Dr. Calder a little more moody, I would say. But I digress. He's rich, and he's number 10 on our list.
Do we know where he got his money from?
Science. Basically, he made a lot of inventions and robotics. So, you know, it probably has patents and things of that nature. As you have in real life, if you're like a really brilliant inventor, you put a patent on something and, you know, you got to get paid anytime they use it.
You're going to hear this over and over again, by the way. Science. It's a big repeating trend in this list. And number 9, as far as lists are concerned, since we talked about Doom Patrol, I thought it would be only fair that we would mention one of the original X-Men and also a very rich individual, Warren Worthington III, a.k.a. Angel, a.k.a. Archangel, a.k.a. whatever they've named him now. I'm not sure.
Yes, he is a young man who comes from money. So, yes, that name itself sounds like a guy who comes from money. You know, Warren Worthington III.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So it sounds very, very classy. You know, it's just like a guy would be wearing like a nice tux when he comes into the room. And
privilege, the privilegist. Yep. You know, I mean, his big setback is he has wings that he has to kind of clip, clip in behind him, kind of holster, so to speak. So it makes it a little hard for him to look like a normal person, I guess, in some settings. Totally understand where he could have some angst, specifically because of that reason. But he also can dry his tears in all of the hard cash that his parents seems to have left him. So there's also that.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, out of these two so far, Dr. Niles Calder or Warren Worthington III, which one would either one of you guys want to be?
Well, both of them have tragic situations. Mm-hmm. I guess from a power standpoint, and just to be able to just really take out people, nothing wrong being Warren Worthington as the Archangel. But on the other hand, I do appreciate intellect and academic pursuits. So I'll say Dr. Niles Calder. Attitude
between the two. Okay, that's fair.
I'll say very Warren. Fair. I'll say Warren because he had to work for his money. Maybe it's like an easier life not having to work for the money. He's going to fly true. Around and fight some bad guys.
And that's you know true. What?
He could go. He
does have a hot girlfriend, Psylocke. Yeah.
And he could always go to a remote location, you know, and just unfurl those wings and just go to town, you know, have a good time in the air. And what person wouldn't want that, you know, that special power, that special ability? Who wouldn't want something like that? I mean, I would. I'd like to fly around. That'd be pretty cool. Of course, you know, don't go in an area, you know, where it's duck season or something and go flying around because you're asking for it then. You're not bulletproof, Warren. Right? Yeah, or near an airport. Exactly. So that's going to bring us to number 8 on our list. Now I'll be asking this question as we add more characters in, what you guys think. But number 8 is, we're talking about a man that fights for injustice, the, cream of the crop and written spectacularly and wonderfully drawn, by Denny O'Neill and the late, great Neil Adams. We are talking about, the Green Arrow, a.k.a. Oliver Queen. He is number 8 on our list. Ollie got some inheritance, just like Warren Worthington III, but it is inheritance that's tied to Queen Internationals or Queen Industries, which is basically a conglomerate of different things. Like, I think they've got their hands in a lot of different pies. So that's what makes Ollie so rich and so valuable of a person is that he does have to work for his money, but it was inherited. So while, you know, he could just let it go, you know, and have somebody else take care of it, he decided to step up and get a little more involved and be a little more, I would say, hands-on when it comes to environmental impact things and stuff like that. So I would say Ollie's pretty, a pretty good billionaire when it comes to that. I think he does a good job of balancing his superhero life with the life of a billionaire, a playboy, along with the life of a person that definitely has a lot of involvement in the community and taking care of people within that community. What do you guys think about Ollie?
I guess in some ways he's kind of like a rich Robin Hood, wants to give back. You know, although in this case he already has the money, but yeah, you know what? I want to give back to the community, give back to the world. And like you said, he is an environmentalist. So, you know, he has a good heart. And that's why it's good to have a guy like that out there in the fantasy world, but good to have him in the real world too.
I mean, didn't he almost die because of his money? I mean, wasn't his money a big reason that the boat ended up sinking?
Well, he was targeted. Yeah, there was something like that with him being targeted, if I recall, at some point. I'm not necessarily sure if it was the boat thing or not, but I know that people have targeted him specifically inside the boardroom and out because of who he is and because of his money, whether it's because he's Ollie Queen or it's because he's the Green Arrow. You know, it's usually one or the other. He's always got a target on his back. And that makes sense because he bandages a bow and arrow, so he should know a lot about targets.
That's true.
Yeah.
He has to get used to it.
Right, right. And if he ever got shot in the spine, he might end up like number 7 on our list, and that is one Professor Charles Xavier of the X-Men. Basically, what we had talked about on our number 10 ranking of Dr. Niles Calder, we're talking about the same thing with Professor Charles Xavier. Professor had, though, also opened a school. While some tuition, I would imagine, is covered for scholarships for some, others, I would say, probably have to pay in order to attend the school. I don't know how that works. I've never been asked to be a part of this school, and I'm pretty upset about it myself, to be honest. I know I have a latent mutant power. I just don't know what it is.
Well, you know, I grew up not too far from, you know, the X-Mansion, because it's in Westchester, New York, so very familiar with that area. And as far as I know, you know, I never read about tuition being charged to students. I'm thinking he's just doing a public service.
Being nice.
He's being nice.
Man,
he got plenty of money. He got plenty of money. You know, his trust fund is big enough to finance the lodging for all these students with special mutant abilities. You know, Charles has a good heart.
Right. Yeah. He's just like, well, I can use these kids to go into battle for me, so I might as well give them free tuition. Is that what you're thinking?
Okay. That's probably how it works. That kind of makes sense, right? You know, get free lodging, free education. But, you know, when you get to a certain age and a certain level of maturity, I need you out in the battlefield.
Yeah.
So you're telling me he's not doing all this off of disability and Social Security?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, wow. Shocker.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's doing that. I did wonder, Kevin, since you live so close, did you actually drive around to see if you could find the place? It doesn't exist, by the way.
I mean, you know, at some point I did, but when I learned the truth, I was like, oh,
you probably
man,
had your dad driving exist. Around all over, and he's like, "God damn it, Kevin, the Tooth Fairy is not down the street either." You know,
it's
I could totally see that. Yeah. So that was number 7, Professor Xavier. Let's go to number 6. Speaking of patents and science, we are talking about one, Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards. Reed Richards has a lot of money, enough money that he basically put a building up, the Baxter Building. I mean, it's huge. It's got a lot of futuristic technology in it that he has funded and paid for. Government's also paid for some, I am sure. Good Lord and gravy, that is a lot of money in that building. And also he has to, you know, keep the Fantastikar running. He has to keep all those portals and things running and going, you know, in case he needs a quick exit. He's always constantly experimenting on himself and others within the community. So, yeah, I would say Reed Richards would have to have a lot of money, particularly. And that's probably due to his genius intellect and within his patents as well.
Yep, patents and inventions, same thing. So, you know, Reed Richards is one of the, I think they said, 3 smartest people on Earth.
Yeah. He's smart.
So, I also think he's
very,
like,
very bright man.
He probably has to, you know, he needs to make sure he also can afford to, you know, pay for all the damage that the thing makes and all the fires that Johnny causes. So
just alone having to
the insurance.
pay for the insurance for Johnny Storm accidentally flaming on any place near like a bar. You know, it could be a big powder keg. A fireworks factory would be a big mistake. A paper mill, probably a bad idea. With the thing, any toilet bowl would just be destroyed by that man. So I wouldn't know how, you know, like after he goes to the bathroom, he just hands them a card and it says, Reed Richards will take care of this. And it's got a number. Just call it.
Or he has like, you know, $25,000 in cash ready to go. Just say, here you go for that broken seat or broken bathroom.
Where is he going to put it? In his trunks? I mean, he doesn't have any. Like, he didn't have pockets. The thing does not have pockets.
No, I think there are pockets in that trunk. You just don't see it.
I think you're crazy. Yeah, see, he does not have pockets.
That's what I was going to ask about the thing himself. And like, does he crap? I mean, he just rocks.
I'm sure he does. I mean, he eats, sure, right? He so he has to have some form of an intestinal tract. And actually, if you
literal read, pebbles
within the last couple years, they did show that if when the Hulk was beating the thing up, he punched him so hard in the face that it busted the rock off, and there was like flesh, there was like meat underneath that.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shows how strong the Hulk is. He actually got down to the meat. Of the bone.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's in the flesh.
But I think they ended up having the thing win the fight. So like every once in a while, whoever the writer is, they'll come back and be like, no, the Hulk would definitely win. And then they would write it to where they fought and the Hulk won. And then another writer would be like, no, thing's going to win. He has the heart. And then they would write it to where the thing won. Well, this time they wrote it to where the thing got the shit beat out of him, the ever loving pulp, but he still won, but he did not look like he won anything. You know, so it's like one of those situations. You know, you should see the other guy. Well, the Hulk's knocked out, but he's not missing chunks of his body like the thing was. That's a big difference.
It's true.
So that's Reed Richards at number six. Now, number five. I don't know if you guys know this, but I created a web series called The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns. It's on Rumble Spoon Productions' YouTube page. You can Google it. You can look it up on YouTube. In fact, James Gunn himself has tweeted pictures of me. I've been tweeted recently in other advertisements for the Blue Beetle movie that they're working on as well. I'm not joking. Look it up. You can find me. And it's kind of crazy because I did play the character of number five on our list, Ted Kord, a.k.a. the Blue Beetle, the second Blue Beetle just after Dan Garrett. He took over for Dan when Dan was dying. And could not access the powers of the Scarab, which is what gave Dan his superhero powers, his super strength, speed, flight, all those things. Ted Kord did not have that, but what he had, science, and that's how he made his money. Kord Industries, $1 billion industry that creates all kinds of things, from household cleaners to, I don't know, I made up the household cleaning part. I don't know what he makes, but he makes a bunch of shit and gets a lot of money for it. So there's that. Oliver Queen talks about him all the time. So I think he kind of looks up to the guy a little bit, which is why he's number five on the list and not number eight. Anybody have anything to say about Oliver Queen, seeing as how both of you were on the web series, The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns?
I would say that Ted is quite a sophisticated and surprisingly brilliant man, an underestimated superhero, underrated superhero, underappreciated superhero. And hopefully when the movie comes out next year, they give Ted Kord some love, even though we know he's not going to be the main character, but hopefully he gets some kind of appreciation and some respect, and it'll kill him off in the first 2 minutes. Cause I know if they do, I know that you'll go, I know that you will put a fatwa out to Warner Brothers and may do some horrible things in Burbank. And we don't want you doing that.
I'll burn this world down.
I know you would. I know you
Mr.
would.
Mr. Turner.
Was Ted even like remotely, he couldn't even afford food in the web series. Like, so I don't know if it's like, he had to like legally beg for food.
The thing is that he was declared dead. So when he came back, he had zero access to anything, which is why he was so poor. So if you guys really want to watch it legitimately, it is on Rumble Spoon Productions on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. Season one, I will admit, we had not a lot of funding. But then money started pouring in for season two, three, and four. because people saw the potential in what we did with season one, which was, you know, a lot of heart, not a lot of cash. So check it out if you want. Let us know what you think.
Ted found his secret stash.
Yeah. Ted Cord's secret stash.
I like that. All right, so Ted Cord's secret stash.
Now we've talked about Ted Kord. Now we have to talk about the other DC billionaire, and that is one Mr. Batman, Bruce Wayne. Not a lot to be said about this man, so we're going to be pretty brief on him, to be honest. He's rich. We all know him. We all know Bruce Wayne. We all know Wayne Industries. We know all about what he does. Anything you guys want to add about Bruce Wayne?
I mean, Bruce Wayne has it all. He has the money. He has the intelligence, similar to Ted Kord. You know,
he should just be really ugly. You know, they should have just made him one ugly son of a bitch, and that would have balanced it a little more. But nope.
There's a reason why he's a playboy. He's a billionaire playboy, but also he's an outstanding martial artist. He's one of the best trained fighters in the world, athletes in the world. He understands tactics, master strategist. So what can you say, Bruce Wayne? Brilliant.
And I would be remiss. Oh, go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry. I could tell you were trying to say something.
No, I was just saying, I don't know about in the comic books, certainly, and I like how in every different variation of him we get, whether it's the animated series, different animated series, or the movies, how he's always a different type of millionaire or billionaire, however rich he is. Like, you know, and sometimes he's running the company and he's doing all this like tech and stuff. And then you get the Batman where he's literally more like a Warren Worthington or Oliver Queen, where he kind of just inherited the money and is kind of just like, you know, being a rich boy. And so I like how different variations of, you know, how he's a millionaire and how he uses his money and that sort of thing.
Right. That's a good thought on that.
He has to wear like two masks in a sense, you know, in order to keep his Batman identity, you know, secrets. So he has to kind of wear these different faces or different masks.
It's true.
But he's in public, so to speak.
I would be remiss without mentioning also just a special nod to Danny Rand, who we did not technically put on the list, but is also a billionaire. I would put him probably close around to Bruce Wayne as far as billionaire. But I think he's a little more surfer dude style. You know, he was all like, you know, and oh my God, there's a burrito stand, instead of like going to rich dinners and stuff. He was kind of living the poor man's life. So I liked that about him. I liked that he was more zen. He was more centered. So actually, Danny Rand was a complete person. And then being Iron Fist was just kind of a bonus for him, which was cool. He's like one of the few superheroes that enjoys what he does and isn't like tormented by it, so to speak. And I like that aspect of him. So a tip of the hat to Danny Rand. And this hat, by the way, is courtesy of Splattered Frog Brewing. You can go to splatteredfrog.com, type in the coupon code SHORTBOX, get 20% off your order right now. They do sell pint glasses, hats, t-shirts, you know, et cetera, things like that. They are a brewery based out of Texas, so give them a try. Go to splatteredfrog.com and check them out. Since we talked about those guys. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, please visit.
Since you had to interrupt me, go ahead. Go ahead and say what you have to say.
I just want to add to it. It's a splattered
how
frog.
How dare you? Do you know who I am? I'm up here with this list guy. No, I'm not at all.
Children, there's no reason fighting.
No, I just wanted to second. Always. I just wanted to second what Donald said, because, you know, Splattered Frog is run by Professor Chris Turner's brother, Josh, and they do great work. Do great work, and they deserve your business. So please visit the website and get some goodies. Get a hat. Get the hat that Donald's wearing. They're a really cool hat, and you will be very happy.
Kevin. The 10-second commercial is now been a half an hour. I've actually grown a full beard. I didn't have this beard when you first started about Splattered Frog. Now I have a full beard. Oh my God. Okay, so moving on. We have Tony Stark is next on the list. And this guy did not give a shit where he got his money from, selling weapons everywhere, and then realizing, oh, I need to make a order to stop people from using these weapons on other countries and places. So his came out of guilt. I find his morals to be loose at best, which is kind of like how he enjoys his women, to be honest. So Tony Stark, number three on our list. Not my favorite billionaire, I'm going to be really honest with you. He is very charismatic and fun, but I feel like all of that comes at a price with him. What do you gentlemen think?
Well, you know what? And not counting the Robert Downey Jr. depiction from the MCU, you know, Tony Stark, again, similar to Bruce Wayne, a very brilliant man, a man who's very tech savvy. Yes, you know, there is a darkness to his business, but he understands that. And I think he does the best he can to make up for the darkness of what, how he profits, you know, how his company profits from the sale of weapons. And yes, all that Stark armor, all those Mark suits, you know, he does what he can to make the world a better place. But you know what? He shows that he's actually a human being, because human beings are complex. He's a great character at times. He's not perfect, but he understands that. So I like Tony Stark. He's very, very human.
You would like him. You would. Jesus. Okay. So I guess that we have your answer then. Out of all these guys that we've talked about so far, now who would you prefer to be? Are you sticking with Dr. Niles Calder? And Chris, are you sticking with Warren Worthington? Or have you guys decided to trade in for another billionaire?
I would trade up for the one that's next on our list, personally.
Okay.
All right. I would go to Reed Richards. I'd probably go to Reed Richards up to this point.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So Chris is talking about next on the list on Mr. Scrooge McDuck. Now, I thought this was a great addition. It really speaks volume to the diversity of comic books and billionaires within the comic book world. I believe they said if Scrooge McDuck was brought into the real world, he would have $65 to $85 billion, which is a tremendous amount of money stored in a giant piggy bank, so to speak, that he likes to dive into and swim, which I know, Kevin, if you could, you would do it.
I certainly would. Although they did talk about that in real life, if you did something like that, since you see mostly it's, you know, gold coins and whatnot, you would bust your, you'd be breaking a lot of bones and maybe die. So if anything, I'll just jump into the cash part where all the cash is. That's the part I would dive into.
Yeah, totally get that. If I could dive into a thing full of cash and it just felt like water, I would probably do it. Although I would need to deeply sanitize myself afterwards, because that's true. So dirty, filthy dirty. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it otherwise.
That's true. I forgot what the percentages of money, of actual currency bills, have cocaine residue on them.
I think they said every bill, every dollar bill, every 20, every 100 has residue of cocaine on it.
Wow.
Out of everyone on our list, I think Scrooge McDuck is the coolest billionaire out of all of them, because he has all this money, and he keeps making more and more money by traveling the world treasure hunting. So not only does he have a whole vault of treasure of gold and stuff, he also has like a whole another room with treasures and all this other stuff that's priceless artifacts and stuff like that. And that's why I'd want to be him. I'd be able to pick anybody, because it's we have a, you know, room around the world treasure hunting. Would be pretty awesome. And my villain would be a Scottish guy, so that'd be pretty cool.
That's true.
So yeah. Really good. Really cool billionaire in my opinion. And he has family, and he's all about his family.
It's true. He wasn't at first, but then he accepted them and then became to be a great, great. What would he be to them? Uncle, right?
He's Donald's uncle, so he's great uncle.
Great uncle. Kind of like me. I'm a great uncle. Yeah. I'm very similar to Scrooge McDuck then. Again, I guess I would have to go with Ted Kord. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. That's not going to change. With number one on the list, it's not going to change. None of this has swayed me in any way. I created a web series called The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns. You can look it up on rumblespoon.com or go to the YouTube page and look them up there. I don't know if you guys know that. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Anyway, we're going to number one on the list.
Number Richards one is better. On the list
is none other, Mr. Kevin, none other than T'Challa. We are talking about the Black Panther. Now, Why is he number one on the list, you might ask? I don't understand. He's not walking around with all this money showboating and acting a fool. No, because he has an entire country to run. He has to govern his nation. He has to take care of his people. And he has to make sure that those people get in those mines and mines that vibranium because they need it to make the cold, hard cash to make him richer. Am I wrong?
Well, a little bit. He's that runs some slave mines or anything like that. It's just the economy of Wakanda benefits everyone, all the citizens. It'd be kind of similar too if I could think of a real life country, maybe like a small country like Singapore. You know, you don't have any poverty in a place like that. So, or Taiwan, so places like that. So it's kind of similar. You know, you make sure that everybody, all the citizens, benefit from the wealth that is generated from the natural resource of, well, actually not really natural resource, but the resource of vibranium.
Yeah. Dr. Claw, or Mr. Claw, I guess. The Claw. Just Claw. Claw. Yeah, Claw. Dr. Claw is something else. Anyway, Claw, being the villain that he is, wants that vibranium because he wants to also be a millionaire for those same reasons. So it's kind of fascinating in that way. Why he does what he does and why he's a constant thorn in T'Challa's side. So I think that's going to just pretty much wrap us up, guys. I think that was a really solid list, but we want to know what you guys think as far as like our list is concerned. Who do you think should be number one? Who do you think should have made the list that's not even on the list? Let us know in the comments section, either on YouTube or in the podcast comments, if you can, anywhere you want, our Instagram, Facebook page. Wherever you want to leave the comments, let us know what you think. We also do these audio podcasts pretty much every Thursday and Friday or Friday. They come out on all the podcast platforms, basically iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker, you name it. We're on it, basically. Apple Podcasts, yada, yada, so on and so forth. We do a live podcast almost every Monday on YouTube, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can join us for that as well. It's a lot of fun. We do some prize giveaways sometimes and stuff. We have voting rounds where you guys can actually vote. And we do a lot of fun little inside trivia things and stuff like that as well. So please tune in for that. Thank you again for tuning in. And I'm Donald.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Chris.
And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you at the wonderfully vivacious, beautifully seductive,
affluent, and always prosperous comic book shop.
Good night, everybody.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.